Hey, boss, that Safe Touch security sign looks different.
Don't let it fool you. It's still the same old Safe Touch we've been avoiding all these years.
I don't like it, boss. I'm getting the sweats just being near the Safe Touch sign.
Yeah, me too. Come on, let's go find a house without Safe Touch.
Right now, activate your existing home security system with Safe Touch Security for zero down for peace of mind with a purpose. Get 24/7 monitoring for about $1 a day and manage your system with a Safe Touch app. Call 888-723-8682 or go to safetouch.com. State license EF20001945.
What's up? It's Megan. Welcome back to BabeCast. Thanks for listening. Today is not only BabeCast Day, but also National Puppy Day. So basically, the best day ever. I posted a really cute video of my dog, Cooper, on my Instagram, so you should go look at it because it's really cute, okay? At MEGHANMILISSA. And I also always put in my stories when there's a new episode of BabeCast up, so check it out. And also another reminder to email me if you have anybody you want to recommend to be on the podcast, Megan, MEGHAN, at WAPE.com. These recommendations really helped me out because the person I had on the podcast today was one of those recommendations, and she is absolutely amazing. Moved to Jacksonville and started her own company, founder and CEO of Oil and Water. Please welcome to BabeCast, Rachel Roberts. Rachel Roberts, welcome to BabeCast.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Happy you're here. Heard amazing things about you from Tony. So I'm really glad you're here. You're the founder and CEO of Oil and Water. That's correct.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So that is, you're a marketing boutique, which we're going to talk about that. But first, I want to get to know you a little bit. Where are you from? Are you from around here?
So I my childhood was mostly spent in Florida. We were in St. Pete, Clearwater area.
Okay.
But I was born in California.
Okay.
We moved around a bunch when I was little. And then we kind of landed in Florida and grew up there. Went to University of Florida and then made my way back to California for about 10 years before coming back here. So I've been East Coast, West Coast my whole life.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And what did you go to school for at UF?
Theater.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you want to do? Like,
I wanted to be an actress.
You
like
did.
That was the thing from, I would say, high school. For as much as I knew about what I wanted to do in high school, which was kind of not that much, but what
does anybody really?
No, I don't know.
You know, like you I don't know? Feel like I wanted to be a dolphin trainer. Like obviously that didn't work out. I just was like, cool. I love like swimming and I love dolphins. They're so cute. And then I realized like once you look at all the stuff you have to learn for marine biology, I'm like, well, that's not gonna
not
cut out for
maybe
me.
Maybe I'll be a talk show host.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I knew that I had a passion for performance and communication. And I had the dream, right? Like I totally had the actress dream. I saw myself in New York and saw the stage. It wasn't as much about film. It was about theater. So
you wanted to be like on Broadway?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't
So why'd you
sing.
Go to California?
Because that's like a whole other chapter once I decided to leave the theater. So once I did study theater in college, I spent about 4 years professionally acting and supporting myself by working in spas during the day.
Okay.
And then I would like go perform at night. So I kind of always had like this this dual reality for like 4 or 5 years after college.
That's like how it is though. If you're trying to be an actor, like
totally.
You're either like a bartender or server.
Oh, yeah.
Or I actually just talked to someone a couple of weeks ago who was doing the same thing in California. She was like, you know, like an extra all the time and like all these different shows, just being a server or a bartender
totally.
And trying to make it happen.
Oh man. I have so many friends from my acting days who, you know, 20 years in, they're doing the hustle and they love it because they're living their dream of performing and getting gigs and they're cool with it. And then I have a couple of friends who have made it. Like they hustled, they did the act, they did the waiting tables, bartending, and now they're on like major TV shows and major movies. So, you know, it's like people are waiting for that break. But
what's that experience like? 4 years, you said?
I said I lasted 4 years of that hustle, you know. Like
is that like a really hard thing to go through? Because like I hear stories about where you're just, you have an audition and they're like rude to you or just you have to look a certain way and they like don't say it to each other. They like, say it out loud and just these terrible things. Like how do you get through that and not like be so hard on yourself?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things to say about that. I think first of all, I was in my early 20s. When I was acting. And so You know, I think in your early 20s, you're just trying to get to know yourself.
Right.
I think we all are probably all hard on ourselves and trying, you know, we're just trying to figure it all out. I definitely had the experience of I was too tall. I was, because I'm 5'10", so I was taller than a lot of guys. It got in my way as an actress, because you've got to, if they had like,
because like Tom Cruise is like 4 feet, right. They put him up on those like wood blocks.
Exactly. So on film, you can kind of get away with it, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
On stage, you know, like it worked for me, but it also worked against me.
Okay.
You know, so I didn't play the ingenue. You know, I would. Right. There were certain roles that I wasn't going to play because of the way I look, which is true for every actress and
sure.
actor. Like that's I'm not unique in that way.
Right.
But you know, yeah, I think it makes you very self-conscious and self-aware.
Yeah. Sure.
And I think that you do go through all of the self-critical, self-doubt. And I mean, there were performances where I felt like I like bombed the performance, and I would sneak out the back door. And like literally exit like via the alleyway because I didn't want to see the public after a show. Like,
oh,
I, you
really?
Know, because you're like that self-critical. You're like, man, I totally blew this performance. And I think that was what was so exciting about theater versus film. But it was also like really, you know, you're raw. Like you're right there. There's no, you can't do a second take.
Yeah.
If you mess up. You know, everybody sees it.
Totally. I was just actually watching or listening to an interview with Bill Hader. You know who that is? He's from SNL, but he was saying the same thing. Like, now he's doing movies. He's not from Saturday Night Live anymore, but he was saying, like, how much of a difference it is, like, in how nervous he would get doing SNL because it was, like, so... You can't mess it up. You're right there in front
yeah.
of everybody. And like a movie, you can, I want to redo that take.
Totally. And then I've heard actors like Clint Eastwood was famous for saying like his best stuff was usually in his first take. Because then after his first take or third take or fifth take or whatever, he started getting self-conscious. He started overthinking
sure.
it. So I think there's also this sort of raw immediacy about the theater,
right.
which I love, and I'm addicted to that in different ways in my life now. It's just like
sure.
I just want that like raw emotion. Give it to me real. And I do think that that's the beauty of live theater. And I wish more people went to go see live theater because I think it's one of the best platforms to see humanity.
Yeah,
yeah.
It really is so entertaining too. We don't really get that chance around here that much.
We don't have a ton. We've got some. Phase 8 Theater is one that's emerging and just incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible performers, and Jamario Stills is the creative director, and he is from Juilliard. So we're so lucky to have
oh, okay.
a Juilliard graduate right here in Jacksonville.
Yeah, probably. I like didn't yeah. even know any of that.
I know. He's, but this is the beauty of Jacksonville. Is
yeah,
that there's so many things going on. You
absolutely,
just have to sort of uncover it.
So what brought you to Jacksonville?
Well, so I had decided to start a company and leave the comfort and sort of misery.
Comfort/misery
of my job in San Francisco. And
okay.
it really was both of those things. It was
Were you still at the spa at that time?
No.
Okay.
I had transitioned into working in beauty marketing.
Okay.
And I had spent, you know, many, many years working in beauty marketing. So that was a whole navigation too. And I was in this job and I was like, you know what? I was just super antsy. I just felt like there was something more in me that I wanted to give, and I wanted to do it in a different way because I felt like beauty marketing had a lot of problems. It
mm-hmm.
was talking about beauty and women, but there was this underlying message that our value is in our beauty and that our beauty is in our youth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really toxic because there's only a very short window of time when we are collagen filled and without lines and without
yeah.
sun damage and without, you know, without the signs of age. And so what is that message to women who are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s? Right?
Yeah, like I'm 30 now and I'm always like, I'm already like, should I get Botox? Like I already see these lines on my foreheads and it's like ingrained in my head that like I shouldn't have that.
Right. Well, it's societal for
yeah.
sure. It's societal. And I was writing and marketing and creating these brands and I was like, man, it wasn't aligned with my values. It felt like I was pandering to women's insecurities and I was like, that's not what I'm about.
And you felt wrong.
Like, I felt like I wasn't using my talents
right.
in the best way. So I felt like, okay, you know what? I'm going to start my own company.
Okay.
And I want to write positive messaging for women and create beauty brands and help founders create their beauty brands that are going to bring positive messaging to women. So anyways, you asked me why I moved to Florida. So I was living in San Francisco and I wanted to start this company, and I probably could have survived about 3.5 weeks on my savings in San Francisco.
It's so expensive. Yeah.
So I was like, well, I'll quit. I'll put all my stuff in storage. I'll go back to Florida. I'll get this company off the ground, and then I'll move back to California. Like, that was the plan. So I literally had like all of my belongings in a storage unit in San Francisco, and I got to Jacksonville. And 3 months turned into 6 months, and then I got into a relationship, and I was like, I should probably get that couch back. I should probably get all my stuff out of storage.
Yeah.
And just, like, maybe set up shop here for a little bit. There was two major, like, my brother, who is an attorney here in Jacksonville, and he's been here pretty much his whole adulthood. Mm-hmm. He was like, "What? You're crazy to live in San Francisco. It's so astronomically expensive." And I got I would be defensive. I'd be like, "You know what? You make it work and life is great and I love my 600 square foot studio and you know whatever." And then I moved here and I like had like the aha moment. I was like, "Oh my gosh, like I could afford to buy a house."
Yeah.
Like everybody in my age bracket owned a home here, mm-hmm. whereas like in San Francisco, nobody owned homes.
Right. It's like just like not normal.
It's just not normal.
Which is fine too, if that's what you like. Like I mean, no judgment. Like it's probably awesome to live in a cool city
I would never trade it in a million years. It was just that awakening of like, oh my gosh, there is actually another way to live. So yeah, so I landed here, and I think being close to my family, like literally my entire family.
Your whole family?
My mom, dad, grandmother, my brothers, my nieces and nephews, and yeah, it's awesome.
And that's a long plane ride to go. You probably came like what, twice a year? Maybe
about twice a year.
I'm going to San Francisco for the first time actually this summer. I'm really excited. I've never been.
Okay,
so
we'll
pumped.
Talk offline. I'll
okay.
give you tips.
That'd be awesome.
Where to go and where to stay. And yeah, it's an incredible city. And it has changed a lot too since I left.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the last 4 years.
I bet, constantly. So, how long have you been in Jacksonville now?
So, now it's been 4.5 years. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been that long.
It's not been that long, but it feels like a long time.
Yeah.
It feels like, you know, this is home.
Totally.
Yeah.
So now you're like, I'm staying here. This is my home now. And like, you don't have any interest.
Who knows what will happen in the future? But I definitely feel like Jacksonville will always be a home for me.
Uh-huh.
I have a home here now. My entire family's here. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So like, no matter what, this is a home base.
Right.
And I travel a lot too. So it's cool to be able to come back to this place and feel like that like deep exhale when I land.
Absolutely. What about outside of like your company? What are some of your hobbies that you do around town? Like what's your favorite thing?
Oh man. Gosh. I wish I had like cooler answers for
this. No, I have like the lamest answers.
I'm my like company is
no, that's
not
cool.
I wouldn't say it's my life, but it is, you know, it's a huge part of my life. First and foremost, yoga.
Okay.
Like great. That is such a like a bougie thing to say. But it is like yoga is like my when I have free time, or even when I don't, and I just try to make time for myself, like yoga is my number one go-to.
How much do you practice?
I mean, I'm trying to go like 4 or 5 times a week.
Yeah,
I wish I could.
5 times
is like an awesome rock star week for me. 4 is probably a little bit
because you just feel so good after you do it.
it's everything to me. Yeah,
I've had
a yoga practice for about 15 years.
Really?
And actually, when I landed here in Jacksonville, I was living at the beach. And when I found Big Fish Yoga,
yes,
I was like, oh my gosh, I think I can stay here.
Yeah.
Because I had found the yoga studio that felt to me like as good as, if not better than, any yoga studio.
Is that where you go now?
Well, I still do support them when I'm down at the beach, but I live in San Marco.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have a regular practice there anymore.
Yeah. I actually had Mary Lynn on the podcast before. She's
so awesome.
Yeah. And I've been going there since they were like really small before they moved.
Yeah.
I say been going there like I haven't been in a long time, but it's really great when I do go.
Every teacher there is incredible.
Yeah. So you decided to create Oil and Water before you moved to Jacksonville, or did you, like, that's when it became official, is when you got here?
You know, I love that question because I think that a lot of times when people are thinking about like leaping and like starting off on their own or being an entrepreneur, they feel like they need to have it all figured out. Here's what I knew. Here's what I knew when I left San Francisco. I knew I was at a breaking point and I was no longer content tolerating working in an environment where it wasn't aligned with my values. I knew that I could write. I knew that my family was here for me and like I would get here and I would figure it out. And I had an 8-day road trip to think about it. And I knew that I could always consult, even with like a couple of people. Like I had that in my back pocket. I had no business plan. I did not even come up with the name Oil and Water until I was running on the beach in Atlantic Beach. Like it all came. I just knew I needed
something
to break free, yeah, and that I trusted the universe enough to like show me what was next. And I honestly think that was the hardest part of this entire journey, was having the courage to leap without having like a hugely solid business plan.
Yeah, I think that's for anybody really who wants to start their own thing, because, you know, it's comforting like working for a corporation that like, you know, you have the health benefits and you know you're going to get a steady paycheck. I feel like sometimes it's like if you don't take the risk, then you'll always be like, what if I did?
100% true.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like famous writers have written about that exact like internal struggle, right?
Right.
Of like, is it more painful to stay where you are, or is it more painful to risk all the things that you're risking? Failure, you know, I think whatever fear we create in our mind. And then there just comes that moment where you're like, you know, screw it.
Yeah.
I'm jumping and life will catch me and I will figure it out. And I also, you know, I'd had 10, 15 years experience in operations and management and managing designers and managing creative teams. And so it wasn't like I didn't have like.
Right. You got to come from a little bit of a background.
Yeah.
You can't just like wake up and be like, I'm just going to do this.
I'm just going to learn to paint.
Like it's good to dream, but you got to be like realistic about it, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think I was very clear that I was working within my zone of excellence.
Absolutely.
Right. And I knew that I knew enough to at least create a small consultancy.
Right.
And that's how I started, was actually the first like 6 months I was just consulting. And then within the first 6 months I had like the business entity, right? The S Corp and like the name and the website and the this and the that. And then I started getting more inquiries than I could handle. And I would say yes to people. Like people would be like, well, can you do, you know, a website design and SEO? And I'd be like, yes. And then I'd be like, oh my God, okay, I've got to find somebody to help me with this, you know?
Right.
So I think in the very
beginning.
Say yes
and then figure it out afterwards.
That's kind of been a little bit of my tactic.
That's not bad.
I think it's a beginner's beginner's kind of like bootstrap tactic. And it worked for me for a little while. And then there was a moment where I was like, I gotta button this up.
Yeah.
So I would say the first year was like bootstrap all the way, figuring it out all the way. And then year two was like putting some more structure in place.
Sure.
And like getting really clear about what I wanted to stand for.
Right. So it's a marketing boutique for beauty and lifestyle brands.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that I knew from kind of the
beginning.
And
that's like, because that's what your experience is in, and that's
right,
like what you wanted to focus on. And you said Oil and Water came from when you were running in Atlantic Beach. What does that mean? Like, why that name?
Yeah. So Oil and Water is the fundamental ingredients in skincare. So if you are using a moisturizer,
uh-huh,
it's an emulsion of oil and water, right?
Okay, sure.
So I knew we wanted to work on skin in beauty. That was what I only wanted to focus on beauty brands. And I was like, okay, Rachel, get to the fundamentals. You know, you want to get back to basics with marketing, with really authentic storytelling, with values-based campaigns. You know, and I kept thinking about like the idea of the fundamentals. And I was like, well, the fundamentals of skincare are oil and water. And I thought that's kind of a cool name for a marketing company and a brand and a spa. Like I was like,
totally,
it's a cool name.
Yeah.
Right?
And
I misspelled it on purpose with a Y because I thought about, well, what do I stand for? And the first thing was always begin with why. Like if you're if somebody's creating a brand or a life, they need to begin with why. Like, why are you doing this? Why are you launching this? Why are you here? And so I literally spelled it with a Y to be a little tongue-in-cheek with the name. And then on a separate run, the tagline Never Blend In came to me. And I thought, now we've got a foundation for creating story around a marketing company that helps brands never blend in.
That's great.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, obviously makes sense with the beauty products.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been super fun. And I feel really lucky that I kind of got to start with like a focus and a very clear positioning.
Sure.
For my company. And it's attracted, you know, largely the exact clients that I've wanted to work
with.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
So how long have you been around now? Four years?
It's 4.5 years right now. Yeah.
Awesome.
Celebrating 5 years in October, which
that's
is sort
great.
Of crazy.
How do companies find out about you? Or this is kind of weird, but like, how do you market your marketing company?
No, it's a great question. And it's something that I think, is a unique, you know, challenge and sort of experience of running a marketing company, that we spend all of our time focusing on marketing our brands, right? Marketing our clients, the strategies, the design, the packaging, the website, the campaigns, that I feel like I have to steal time at midnight to focus on marketing oil and water. And
because you have to do both of your marketing company, you have to market yourself and then your clients, obviously.
Sure. Yeah. And I'll tell you again, I feel like I've been incredibly lucky because we are niche and we work within indie beauty and natural beauty. That's a pretty small little universe, mm-hmm. right? And I've been in this universe for 15 years. And so when I started the company, I already had a few people who were like, oh, can you help me with this and that?
Yeah.
And now it's been 100% word of mouth.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to ask you.
I've not had to do any paid advertising or anything like that.
That's great.
Yeah. And it's, you know, we're a small boutique, right?
Right.
We're not this like 100 people.
Right.
Working in our agency. We've got seven.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you have a team of seven people?
Yeah, we've got that. And that includes our part-time contractors.
Okay.
Is seven. Yeah.
Awesome.
And there's four kind of daily, every day, full-time.
So like if I was a client and I wanted to come to you, what are some of the steps that you would take like in the beginning when you're first trying to like figure things out? I'm sure everybody's different.
Yeah.
But like what is the one of the first couple things you do?
Yeah.
With somebody who wants to work with you.
So we always begin with why. And what that means to us is that we do a brand and brand positioning project and exercise with you, where we get really crystal clear on, you know, your brand positioning in the marketplace, how your, you know, what your brand statement is, what your, you know, tagline and all that, you know, your mm-hmm. your primary messaging.
Yeah.
But we also look at your competition, your white space. What's that unique white space that you can claim in your specific industry?
And then try to like highlight that.
Yeah. And then we do a lot of kind of brand building around that. Like, how are we going to pull that out? I mean, there's sort of like a 12-step brand process that we take a client through.
Uh-huh.
And it's usually a 4 to 6 week project. But at the end of the day, they have this roadmap where they can take it and run with it, or they can come back to us and say, okay, help us build all this. And then from there, we either do a go-to-market plan for them, like if they're taking a brand new product to market. Or if they already have the product in the marketplace and they are just needing some refinement, then we look at just integrated marketing.
Okay.
Digital and, you know, traditional marketing.
Right.
And we sort of do it all.
So everybody just is different. It depends on, like, what stage they're at. And...
Completely.
Cool.
Yeah. And, you know, again, we primarily work with beauty products. So we're looking at a brand or a line or a new product launch. But occasionally we've worked with artists. We've worked with you know, movements and organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And we work right now too with an e-commerce beauty store. Like, so she brings in, she's basically a discovery platform for healthy beauty.
Oh, cool.
So she doesn't have her own brand. She brings in about 50 different brands. She, you know, she carries about 50 different brands.
Right.
And then she does a discovery service. It's called Beauty Heroes.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
And it's a discovery service for finding healthy beauty.
Is it like all organic products mm-hmm. and stuff like that?
Okay. She actually holds the highest standard, the highest ingredient standard in the industry.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a really, really wonderful brand to work with.
Right. And
yeah.
It's like sometimes I feel like stuff that people don't think about, they think about, you know, what they're putting on their body, like,
yeah.
and not all the chemicals and stuff that's
I think
inside
we're waking up to that
yeah.
a lot more, right?
Yeah.
We're becoming a lot more. I think it's one of those things where once you kind of know, you can't unknow.
Mm-hmm.
You can't unknow, like, chemicals that you're like, oh, that's actually bad for me. Like,
yeah.
So, okay.
And your skin is, like, seeping
products.
That in. And
yeah.
Yeah. I know, and I can't sit here and say that I'm, like, perfect, because I definitely, like, have stuff that I probably shouldn't be using on my face. But I mean, I do try to become a little bit more aware of it.
Sure.
Depending.
And there are some that are harder to find clean than others. Like, I think it's harder to find clean hair care and hair coloring.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And I'm too vain to, like, go completely gray.
No, I mean, I've highlighted my hair since I was like 15. So yeah, like, yeah, I know.
Not there yet.
No.
In my life.
So what are some of the clients that you do work with like right now?
Yeah. So, you know, they're all within our sort of indie beauty and natural beauty space. So
is it local or?
It's not.
Okay.
In fact, we've got a couple of local clients. Wild Taproot is a line that was launched last year. Libby Jennison, who's another babe, and she is an amazing herbologist, Vedic practitioner, yogi, and she has created this gorgeous range of skincare and also internals like vinegars and
amazing.
She's local. Yeah, she's got her own little farm, and then she sources some other ingredients from reputable organic farms.
Social helps too, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I honestly think it's that it's a very small little universe called the indie beauty, green beauty space. And
yeah,
I think once you're in it, you know, I go to all the trade shows and I do all that stuff, but it definitely is, you know, it's just the universe I'm in.
Right. And then once people discover it and realize it, they become like kind of like obsessed with only using that. Like, I feel like, because then you realize, oh, that's kind of important. I should probably be doing that.
It's so true. I could never like, I can't now like go and use like commercial skincare. Like, I just won't do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's just something about natural that I see the difference in my face.
Right.
And my skin. And I want to support these entrepreneurs because I know how much goes into creating a natural line.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you have a team. How many did you say? Seven?
So it's seven in total with my, I've got some contract for, you know, part-time contractors who work with us and some partnerships.
Okay.
And then in-house, it's four kind of every day, all day.
So do you have like what are the different things that people are doing? Are they helping with like web stuff and...
Yeah, so my immediate
really
team,
technical terms I'm using, web stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly. You sound like all
I'm
of
not
our
really
clients.
Like, I'm not really professional.
That's all good. That's why we're here, to like give you the professional names.
Yeah.
So we've got an art director, Becca Clifford, and she's our sort of, she visually articulates everything that's in my crazy brain. Daphne is our, she's also a graphic designer, and she also does a little account management.
Okay, cool.
So she pretty much oversees one of our main clients, and then supports on some, you know, some other clients. Johan is also a creative consultant for us and is working on a lot of creative projects for us. He does a lot of big picture projects like website design and packaging design. And
so you have help, like, that's great.
Oh yeah, I'm not a designer.
Okay.
Yeah, no. And then Tony, of course,
is our
cultural engineer. And she, I'll tell you what, she has put the mindful, you know, we have our mindful marketing manifesto. And
yeah, I wanted
mindful
to talk
marketing.
About that too. Cause
she holds me to it, man.
Because you mentioned something about that's what you guys truly believe in our emails.
Yeah, the way it started, so it's the idea of mindful marketing, right?
Right.
And like, I'm very aware that that can sound super cliche if I don't back it up. Right?
Okay.
Like, what the heck is mindful marketing? It kind of originated from this place of I had been in a bigger company. I've seen marketing agencies, and they're chaotic, and they are deadline driven, and they are really high stress, high adrenaline, high caffeinated kind of environments where you're like, you hit these like apexes where you're like, okay, we just delivered this huge presentation, and then you crash, right? Because it's an industry built on like these highs and lows. And I personally burn out like that really fast.
Sure.
You know, like, I know that I already operate like that, but if I'm running a company like that, I need to create more balance and more kind of white space and more breathing time.
Well, then doesn't it, if it is like that, it feels like it becomes less about what it's supposed to be about and more about just like hitting the deadline.
Well, that's exactly it.
You know,
that's
like
exactly
people are stressed out about just getting it done instead of doing it the right way.
That's exactly it. And so this is a totally, that exact point is why I started cultivating my own mindfulness practice so that I could enter into my work a little bit more balanced every day. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. I'm actually producing better work when I come in balanced and breathing and taking my time and what I call mindfully monotasking. Like, I don't believe in multitasking. I think it's one of the biggest like misconceptions of the modern worker that like multitasking is awesome. Mm-hmm. I think it's actually creates a lot of distraction. I think it creates subpar work. And the reality is that our brain doesn't multitask. Our brain just can move from one thing to the next really quickly. But when we are toggling back and forth all day, every day, we're actually producing less. We are more distracted and our work quality suffers. So like all of this stuff was like in my mind and I'm like, okay, if I want to create an epic game-changing marketing agency for the beauty space, I'm going to do it differently. And so I started my own mindfulness practice. I created this mindful marketing manifesto, which was just like, how are we going to do things differently for ourselves and for our clients? And now we're at a point where we're creating like practices in our culture, like meditations and full creative brainstorms, like a full process to like mindfully brainstorm on a project. And, you know, anyway, we've got this methodology behind it because I believe that mindfulness is the portal to greater creativity. And at the end of the day, that's all we're doing is we're creating.
I feel like you got that way and that outlook because of the experiences you had probably in the past, right?
For sure.
Where you were working for those big corporations where you felt like, nah, this isn't for me. And
there's other ways. Yeah. And listen, I'm not, this is what I'm so excited about with exploring creativity and talking to other artists and different people, creators in different industries. There are many, many ways to create.
Do you guys host any, like, do you guys, are you a part of anything locally, like event-wise, or do you host events, or is there anything like that going on?
Yeah. Last year, we hosted a 13-week mindfulness workshop, summer workshop.
Oh, cool.
And it was every Tuesday night for 13 weeks. And Laura Bennett, who is another incredible babe.
Yeah.
Give me all the names. She's awesome. She's a mindfulness teacher. So she was the one who was teaching the classes. And she has a long, many, many, many years of experience teaching mindfulness.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so we hosted it. And she taught it. And I learned so much from her.
That's cool.
And over those 13 weeks. And really got to see. What I was most proud of, actually, in that was to see how much Jacksonville was open to and wanting that exact experience.
Yeah.
We sold out our first many, many classes.
Oh, that's great.
Because people were like, yeah, we've been looking for mindfulness classes, you know? So, but right now we're busy working on our clients' brands. And for us, like the events are probably like once a quarter.
Right. Where can people find out more like about all your services, and you guys have social media and stuff?
Yeah, we do. We have Instagram is primarily our channel. We've got Facebook too.
Okay.
You can go to oilandwater.com. It's OYLANDWATER.com.
Yeah, it's a really cool website too, whoever made that.
Yeah, thanks. We're actually in the process of doing some updates to it as well, so it'll be even cooler.
Nice.
If anybody is a beauty or lifestyle brand, and we have worked with like yoga studios.
Sure.
Because those
kind of seem like they tie in.
Yeah.
Like you say mindfulness, I feel like it's all about that.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, even like partnering with like a Laura Bennett, you know, mindfulness teacher, like there's a lot of overlaps. It's not all just beauty brands. So if anybody's starting that or launching a brand or curious about how to get a brand off the ground, we do, you know, we have a full capabilities presentation we can send you.
Nice. Before we go, any advice to anybody who's trying to start their own business? Just like, you know, you've been through a lot.
Probably
went through struggles along the way.
Yeah.
And came out on top. So do you just have any advice for anybody?
Yeah. I mean, I think my advice would be that it takes a healthy balance of sort of this rebellious courage and mindfulness.
Yeah.
And I think that those two things can really coexist. You know, I mean, I think you've got to be ballsy and rebellious enough to just sort of like not listen to naysayers and not listen to even the people who love you, who are trying to keep you safe, who say, you know, keep that good paying job with health insurance.
Right. No, it's true. Right? There's people who do that.
Yeah, because that's a way forward for sure. That's a great way to live your life. But if you've got like this burning desire in you to create something of your own, it takes risk and it takes courage and it takes you being rebellious and stubborn and all of those things. And then every day, find 10 minutes to just sit with your breath, because that's all you've really got.
Yeah.
Is that moment and your breath. And I think in the mindfulness and in that moment when you're just connected to your breath, you realize how strong you are and how many possibilities there are for your life.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Rachel, thank you so much. Everybody check them out. Oil and Water. It's OYL and water.com. Thank you.
Thank you.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.